Hi, Pixel.
Hi, Paige.
Hi.
It's been a minute, huh?
Yeah, for us, it's been a minute.
I know
they're still getting episodes every week, but we haven't been here for a minute.
The magic of scheduling ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me your anecdote that you've been sitting on forever and ever, amen.
It's kind of short, but we're potty training, Sunshine, right? And part of that is like,
shitting on the floor.
Well, that, but like making sure he knows like the proper name for the parts of his body.
Oh, so we are teaching,
you know, taught him, you know, the word penis.
Yeah.
And where his penis is and what it is and all that stuff. And then one night, about like a week ago, maybe, we were sitting, I was playing with him on the floor, and he looks at me and he starts going, "Mommy, I'm going to kick your penis."
Ah!
And I said, "Oh, honey.
No, you're not.
Mommy doesn't have a penis." And he was pissed.
Dare you?
And he was like, "Yes, you do. Yes, you do have one." And I was like, "No, honey. Penises are for boys. Mommy has something called a vagina. Can you say that? Vagina." Yes.
Perfect.
No, penis. Like, just like would not give it up that I, in fact, do not have a penis.
But so, like, some girls do. That's conversation. No, I get it. We're talking building blocks. We're talking we're talking potty training basics.
I know. And I was like, I don't even think I said boys have penises. I think I just said like you
not
have a
everybody
penis.
Has a penis.
Not everybody
Only
has
like
a penis.
49.8% of the population has a penis.
Yeah. I was just like, mine doesn't have one of those. Sorry. And he was just real, real upset about that. So.
You should just let him think that you've got the same equipment down there. So then when he does like kick you real hard and you just take it, he'll think you're like a superhero or something. Mommy's balls are way stronger than your tiny little balls.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
So is that what you had?
That's all
talking
I had.
About. Okay.
But
not everybody has a penis, but if you do, that's fine.
That's fine, whatever. Penises are penises and vaginas are vaginas.
And whatever you've got, here's my advice for you. Whatever equipment you've got in your bathing suit region, enjoy it. Make the most of it. You know what I mean?
All right, so we have a video game episode again this week because unfortunately I got, my house went through a tornado, like literally.
Literally.
Like a literal tornado. And so I had no power for 4 days and could not write an episode.
Rip.
So, sorry.
I mean, so showing up at Paige's house today, there are trees. I had to like swippity swerve past like 15 NIPSCO vehicles to even get to this home. There are giant trees. This neighborhood, it had so many old, beautiful trees.
Oh, I am incredibly
sad. I love your tree.
It was so, it covered our whole front yard. It was nice and shaded. And now our whole yard is just going to be exposed to the unrelenting sun. And I'm very upset.
The grass will probably grow slower, though. I think most of the grass around here does better in the shade. I'm sorry. Yeah. Today,
on the plus side, a lot less leaves to rake in the fall.
Ooh.
Which I don't rake the leaves.
I was going to say,
Grumpy rakes the leaves, but I just, won't have to.
I just leave the leaves because like they don't bother me. And if they like blow, so I live on a golf course, don't at me. So if they like blow onto the golf course, then there's somebody else's problem.
True.
I don't give a shit. The HOA.
But you
can
also
fucking
don't
fist
have
my asshole. I don't
like
give a shit
six
about the HOA.
Mature trees overhanging your yard.
I have four.
They're not as big.
Two
as
in the front. Two. They're not. They're those fucking Bradford paper.
Yeah,
that smell
nothing.
Like that smell like diseased pussy. I hate those trees.
Yeah, no, we've got like oak trees and like chestnut trees that are enormous.
You should make furniture? Like, whittle something.
I know. Listen, I barely have time to read books and write episodes for this podcast. I cannot be taking on any more hobbies.
You could whittle and talk. Whittle and listen.
I guess I could do that, but probably not, because then I'd just get so focused on whittling that I would forget.
Or you would unfocus and lose a finger.
Yeah.
Today, we will be diving into one of the most charming, frustrating, creative, and unique games I have ever played. This is a game, it made me laugh, it made me cry.
It moved me, Bob.
It made me beat my head against the fucking wall.
Oh.
And most importantly, maybe tap my fucking toes and bop my fucking head.
Ooh, it's a musical game.
Yes, today we will be talking about Rhythm Doctor. That's Let's such rock a this bitch.
Sick name.
Yeah. Did you just fucking step on my tagline?
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were going to.
Let's rock this bitch.
Hell yeah.
So Rhythm Doctor is a 2025, so fairly recent.
Oh, hey, good job.
Fairly recent, thank you. One button rhythm game.
What?
I'll explain one button in a second. One button rhythm game created by 7th Beat Games. Similarly to Papers, Please, the mechanics kind of like are the game and are the plot in some inextricable ways. So I'm just going to include the mechanics in with the plot.
Perf. Love it.
Overview. So like I said, this is a rhythm game, a one button rhythm game, no less. This means that the only thing you ever need to do is hit the space bar. That's it. That's the only control is the space bar. You just have to do so on a very particular beat according to the instructions.
Okay.
Yeah. So you are the intern. You are a doctor training on a new state-of-the-art piece of medical technology.
Ooh.
Rhythm defibrillation.
Mm-hmm. Like staying alive?
Staying alive. Hope you're staying alive. Yeah, it's just like that. So you, from your computer at home, can get people's heartbeats back to a healthy rhythm by hitting a button on the beat.
Okay.
Sounds simple enough, right? First of all, wrong. Second of all, when I say this is one of the most poignant commentaries on our healthcare system today, I fucking mean it.
All right. We're going to get into shitty American healthcare today.
Like, right now, my healthcare heroes are, like, number one, Luigi Mangione, my boy, always.
Free Luigi.
My Italian stallion, Luigi Mangione. And second, the fuckers that made this game. We'll get there.
Doing the real work out there.
Yes. No, genuinely, I feel like every CEO of any like healthcare adjacent, everyone should have to fucking play this game or at least watch it.
Mandatory
somebody.
For it's humanity.
Important.
Can I play it on my computer? Like,
yes,
is it literally my space bar?
It's a PC game. Yep. It's on Steam. It's like $12 on Steam.
All right. Well.
And it's not frightening. No jump scares.
Oh my gosh. I totally just out of the blue yesterday remembered our let's play.
Yeah, that's not fucking happening, I don't think.
I still have it. I just
is it watchable in the least?
I don't know. I haven't even watched
it yet. Let's see if it's not just garbage.
Anyway, I played it one more time after that and I haven't since because I am
skilled.
A big baby.
Skilled.
I am.
Yeah, I get it. So each patient at the hospital has their own story and their own music.
Okay.
Think like how like Star Wars, like the different characters have like
themes. Yeah.
It's very similar to that. And like the themes get woven through because like they're regular patients. So you see them several. It's not like one and done. And the music in this game is so good. Which like it's a music game. So like it better be doing that. Right. But like there's this I have had. That, like, one of the, like, themes for one of the couples in the game is, like, da-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da. And I'm just, like, going around my house just, like, singing this song to myself. There's another one. It's, like, there's some that's like on like a pentatonic scale, so it's got that kind of like Western or Eastern music. That it's so cool. Oh, it's so cool.
I just realized what shirt you're wearing.
Okay, do we need to take a detour to talk about my shirt since you said that? Okay, so a friend of mine. What's his code name?
Who?
The person that made this shirt for me.
Oh God.
Oh, you got to make this good because he.
I know.
He deserves it. I'll send this to him now. He's not a regular listener, but I'll send this to him because he's getting a shout out.
Oh, gosh.
Balcony bitch. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good.
That has nothing to do with the
shirt. No, no. But so Balcony Bitch also has a t-shirt company. And and also just like toodles around on Facebook and like. Is a silly, silly man. So,
how many left today?
Yeah. I had posted a picture of like my new haircut on my Facebook, and my mom hops in the motherfucking comments and just says, ooh, dot, 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 like EW, dot, dot, dot. Balcony bitch thought that was hilarious. So, he took a screen grab of just like my mom's profile picture and the comment and made a t-shirt and like a license plate front thing uh-huh. for my car that are that. And I'm wearing it and Paige just noticed it. This has nothing to do with Rhythm Doctor.
No, but I love it.
I don't even know. We're talking about the music.
I'm so sorry. Thank you, Balcony Bitch.
Thank you, Balcony Bitch. You'll be sure to get this one.
I was the Balcony Bitch this week.
You were the Balcony Bitch this week, which many listeners at home do not know what we're talking about. And this is as much as we can explain without me losing my job. So, So the music this game, it really effectively like captures the characters and their stories. Like, it's good, simple. So back in the day, I had a friend that used to write freelance for gaming magazines.
Okay.
And he wrote an article about like 8-bit music for video games and how like a good musician can make an orchestra sound great. A great musician can make an 8-bit like octave sound great. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you have to be really, really good to work within the limitations. And this game, it's not 8-bit, it's not 16-bit, like it's going for that art style, but these are just like full compositions. But it's kind of capturing that feeling and that simplicity. Like you have to be a genius to write the Mario theme. You know what I mean? Because it's like so catchy and so you know. And I feel like they have some of iconic. That genius with this. Yeah, that it's simple, but it says exactly what they want it to say. So like damn, good job, Seven
Great job. Games.
Also, just a little aside, an aside upon an aside upon an aside here.
That's what we're good at.
I am usually like really good at rhythm games. So I am a musician.
Right.
It's not my main gig, but I do perform on a fairly regular basis. I study music theory. I've studied composition. I write music. I play 4 instruments. I sing. This game is fucking hard.
All right.
Like, I genuinely don't know if it is playable for non-musicians. Like, that's not me trying to be like a bitch or look bad. I just, it's difficult.
I played the trumpet in middle school.
Were you good at like counting out rhythms?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well then maybe. Give it a shot. It's 12 bucks. Right. Give it a shot. But like, so Game Boy watched me play some of this and I was like stuck at a certain point and he was like, babe, I cannot help you. Like, I cannot even fathom helping you. You are so on your own right now. You are hopeless. So, like, if you're a musician, though, if you are a musician or you want to, like, get better at counting or feeling a beat or syncopation or subdividing beats or whatever, this game is, like, genuinely great practice for that. You learn music vocabulary. You get exposed to several different styles of music and what makes them distinct on, like, a rhythm basis. You get visual and tactile feedback for like when you're on beat or not. It's like genuinely, it's a good tool for me. If you're a musician, if you want to be a musician, if you're learning, if you struggle with rhythms, like maybe give Rhythm Doctor a try.
Rhythm Doctor.
Yeah. So anyway, the first patient that you see is a samurai. There's no explanation. He just is. He has insomnia, which gives him arrhythmia. And to help him, you got to hit the space bar every seventh beat. That's his music. Nice. It's very pentatonic and lovely. So it's pretty straightforward. It's not too difficult. He is probably the least well fleshed out character, but like, so you will learn later. I did not ultimately go with him, but he was a close runner up for my crush character. Because he just, like, every time he's on screen, he's just, like, bobbing his head like a chicken. Heck yeah. All the time. He is in full, like, old school samurai regalia. Always.
Nice.
Always. And his song just fucking slaps. It's, like, one of my favorites. And he is always, like, showing up with other characters to, like, try to be helpful. But in a weird, so like imagine the meme from The Office where like Dwight turns around and Angela's right there and he's like, ah! Like that's what the samurai is. He's just always like, can I help? Just like right, really, really close to the, yeah. I love him.
He sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Your next patient is a teenager named Logan who has panic attacks every time he tries to tell his crush Haley how he feels.
I'm sorry. Very relatable.
I know, right?
But also not a hospitalization.
Well, but like actual legitimate panic attacks.
So like maybe just like
listen. Just let it go, dude. No, okay, no, because she like so clearly also has feelings for him.
Oh, okay.
Because this game is not the most realistic game. But she has panic attacks whenever he has panic attacks because she's worried about him. So, like...
Do they end up in the hospital together?
Yes! Yes! And it's, like, played up as this cute romantic thing.
It's actually, like, you all need medication and therapy.
It's, like, really troubling codependency wrapped up in, like, just kind of an adorable teenage love story. Because, like, ma'am, I have been in relationships where we made each other spiral easily, and, like, it's great when it's great, and when it's bad, it's a fucking mm-hmm. nightmare. Mm-hmm. So, like, stability. Something to be said for your panic attack not making them have a panic right. attack. You know what
Somebody
I mean?
Somebody has to be mentally stable. So,
that is Game Boy's job. Game Boy's job is
Grumpy
mental health.
And I are usually, like, switching back and forth.
And, like, I don't mean to... Okay, I can be a supportive wife, like... They, you know, whenever Game Boy's down, I can be supportive. I can be there. But, like, in general, I am the psycho of the family. As is my right.
Really?
Fuck you. Fuck you, Paige. I'm about to be the psycho of this household. You better shut up. You thought the tornado outside was bad. Another patient is the barista of the hospital's coffee shop, and she is frustrated unto death by her customers.
I feel that.
I know.
In my soul. Really and truly.
Absolutely. She smokes. She has heart problems related to anxiety and exhaustion and the smoking.
Yeah.
And get this. Because you are already working remotely. So the intern, from the patient's perspective, all they see is like a screen with a finger and a button on it. You don't speak to them. You can hear them. They cannot hear you.
That sounds creepy.
Babe, we're getting there. So, because you're already working remotely, you're already not having contact with the patients in their rooms. The hospital decides that you can just treat her while she's working so as not to lose any productivity.
That's dystopian.
Mm-hmm. We are just getting warmed
I'm
up.
I'm sure.
So after you meet her, you move over to Ward 2. And now, like, instead of hitting every seventh beat, you hit every other beat, no matter what. Mm. You got to keep a steady rhythm, no matter what shenanigans the game pulls on you, and shenan it will. And, like, so...
I'm shenan again.
Absolutely. Again and again and again. Because, you see, Middle Sea Hospital, which is funny, it's like spelled up Middle Ocean, but it's like Middle Sea, like the middle of the keyboard. Anyway, Middle Sea Hospital, the setting of this game, is all about the bottom line.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Ediga, yeah. the head of the hospital decides that you are doing well enough to start treating multiple patients at a time.
No. Mm-mm.
Which, like, on the one hand, definitely makes shit more difficult. And it's absolutely part of the overall message of the game that capitalism has overrun the field of medicine and is ruining it and killing all of us.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's a really cute storytelling technique.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, so you treat Logan and his crush Haley at the same time. And their music blends together and their heartbeats sync up. And it's adorable.
Yeah, but also they're in a really toxic relationship.
Okay,
so
there are other couples. So, like, the barista gets with a DJ. So, so it's funny. The barista is overworked. There's a DJ who also has heart problems because he's addicted to coffee. They get together because he's literally always in the coffee shop in the hospital. They okay. get together. They're not great for each other. They're not helping each other with their various addictions.
Are they treating him whilst he is at the coffee stand?
I believe they do. He's usually, like, in a patient room, but by the end of the game, they are treating people here, there, and ever. Like, it just becomes more and more chaotic.
Like, I got heart problems.
Like, later
okay.
on, you treat somebody on a train. You treat somebody on a baseball diamond. You just, because it's all via Wi-Fi.
Right, but, like, how did you get to them?
You
how
don't,
do they hook
just,
it up?
It's like, they, listen, they don't ever really explain. But on your end, if there's a Wi-Fi signal that can get between you and them, you can rhythm doctor their heart back into sync. You're thinking too sci-fi with this. This is like a big metaphor for lots of shit.
All right,
let go. Let the science. You gotta let the science go with this one.
I can't.
So, it's right around this time. Oh, so I was saying there's like Cole and Nicole, the DJ. There's their
Cole
name.
Cole and Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole and Cole. They're a couple. They write music together. They're cute. There's also there's an older couple that are like stuck on different wards of the hospital. And like they're just both asking to see each other. And they're like really sweet and old and and they're really cute. And towards the end of the game, they finally get to go to like a chair dancing therapy class together.
Chair dancing.
And it's so lovely. So, you know, but like, so treating multiple people at a time, like they do some cute stuff with it without letting go of the fact that like, it's fucked that we have to do this.
Yeah.
So it's around this time that you realize that the entire hospital is transitioning to like essentially telehealth only. And that the hospital itself only seems to have three doctors, a nurse, a janitor, a security guard physically on site, and everyone else is this, like, Wi-Fi shit.
So do they do the surgery with the robots?
They're trying to do it, like, not even in physical proximity. Like, all of the heart treatments, like, they're... So this is kind of a later plot development, but, like, right now, you can put hearts back into rhythm remotely. Under Dr. Adiga's pressure, they're trying to make it so you can relieve any kind of pain remotely with the same sort of technology. You can reverse muscle damage. You can reverse neural damage. Like, they're trying to make, like, an everything cure machine via Wi-Fi so that
with rhythm?
Yes. So that nobody ever has to fucking actually deal face-to-face with a patient ever again, and they can just move through patients and make rake in the fucking money and be as efficient as possible.
I don't think that's how human bodies work.
We're getting there. We are so getting there. So basically, the hospital is incredibly short-staffed.
Right. As they are.
After learning this tidbit about the hospital, your next patient is a politician who is absolutely a suspiciously similar substitute for RFK Jr. He's absolutely.
Thank you.
He is. No matter, like, where.
Does he talk like this?
No, they're not voiced. Oh, but, like,
okay.
Yes, in my head, absolutely.
Oh, okay. I'm not very good at RFK
Which,
Jr.
Like,
impersonation, so sorry.
His voice is so unsettling, and I know, like, that's one of the few things that isn't his fault.
Right. But, I know. Like, it's so hard, because it's, like, very technically a disability.
He can't help it.
He cannot
fucking help it.
And I'm like, really shouldn't make fun of him for that, because, like, we shouldn't make fun of disabilities.
Everything else about him
but also
makes it feel like
he is the worst.
I know. So anyway, this RFK Jr. stand-in, he is always animated with a devil tail and a podium in front of him. Like, he just has a podium everywhere he goes. It's amazing. He is the Secretary of Health for the country. So, like, he's fucking RFK Jr. And he sucks.
Mm-hmm.
He barges into the hospital and demands to be treated first. And the hospital lets him jump the queue, even though there are other older, sicker patients in front of him, because he has the power to cut the hospital's funding. So they're afraid not to. So, like, throughout his whole stay, he demands top-of-the-line care, and then he whines when he doesn't and can't get it, even though the reason he can't get it is because...
It's his fault!
Exactly! He has consistently voted to defund hospitals, but he has the nerve to be upset when that defunded public hospital is too short-staffed to help him. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So angry. Mm-hmm.
He's really mad about the rhythm defibrillation thing. And he's like, why? I need to be treated for real. And they're like, by who, bitch? Who are we supposed to be able to pay?
We literally have one intern pressing a space bar. Yeah.
Things are bleak here. So the game kind of also like dips its toe into medical ethics here for the first time. So it talks about triage. Do we treat him first? Or do we treat this old man who is in much worse health, but who can't defund us and therefore can't do as much harm if he fucking dies or gets mad as RFK Jr. has? And like, they talk about this like quality adjusted lifespan. Mm-hmm. So basically and I didn't have time to look up if this is like a thing anywhere, but it's basically like you take how long somebody is expected to be able to live based on like statistics and demographic info, like how many years do they have left? And then you factor in like, what is the quality of life, not based on their quality of life, but based on their value to the community.
Oh.
And how much they can contribute.
Gross.
Yes.
That's eugenics. Homie.
Yes. Yes. And it made me think like, does this sort of fucking calculus happen here?
I don't know.
So, I mean, I used to work as a hospital chaplain.
Oh, okay.
In a hospital, like a trauma center in a major city. And we had protocols for if a celebrity should happen to need treatment at our... Because if something happened, there's a celebrity in town, if they get shot, stabbed, whatever, they are coming to our hospital because it is the trauma center.
Right, okay.
So we had protocols for if there is a celebrity. And those protocols included clearing out the entire fucking emergency department so they are the only patient in there.
What?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because their security as a public figure, as a celebrity, is more important than a whole bunch of other people having fucking beds. Yep.
Mm-mm.
That was literally like, I was trained on how to assist in clearing the emergency department if we got the code. That there was, this was like during the electoral, like, so when like Trump and Hillary were in town campaigning, they're like, listen, if one of them shows up, we're clearing this whole fucker out.
What if somebody is like in the middle of having a stroke? Like, what do you mean? Where do they go?
You transfer them to a unit if you can. You put them in an ambulance and you send them to another hospital. You put them in a bed in a hallway. You just get them out of the ED and they lock down the emergency department and they lock it down.
That's insane.
That is hospital That's policy. That is standard protocol.
In most hospitals?
I never, from anyone I've talked to, and I talked to chaplains who worked in various hospitals and various hospital systems, that's just how it fucking goes. That's just how it fucking goes anywhere. So you better fucking hope next time fucking Taylor Swift is in town or some shit.
That I don't need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, because if she does too, you're shit out of luck.
That's insanity.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, the first three acts of this game, pretty easy. Act four rocked my entire shit. Like, the first level of act four has four character heartbeats all at once. And it almost gave me, like, stress-related arrhythmia. I was like,
you're going to need.
Exactly. I need my own.
The rhythm doctor treatment.
I do. Can you rhythm doctor yourself?
I don't know.
Rhythmation? So sorry. That wasn't even funny. That wasn't even a good joke.
That was,
we're keeping
that was
it.
Bad.
We're keeping it.
Well, yeah, we never like cut out anything.
Genuinely, we only cut out if I accidentally say my child's name. Right? That's like the only thing that ever happens that gets cut.
But even then, we just rewind it and re-record it.
That's true.
So
that's true. We don't know what we're doing.
We're just making things up. It's fine. It's
so
fine.
At this point, so one of your hospital patients is like, "Hey, I need to go visit my grandma. Can I get like permission to like leave and come back to the hospital?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure, fine. Take your hookup and go. Like, take your little Wi-Fi hotspot, whatever, and get on the train." So this is the train part. And while she's on the train, there are other people on the train that also start having heart problems.
Why is everybody having heart problems?
Because you need to meet people in the game, and like that's how you meet. They're either doctors or they have heart problems. Also, in this dystopian nightmare, everyone seems to have anxiety-related heart problems.
I wonder why.
I wonder fucking why. So, on the train, you meet a character who is a coal miner, who has heart problems because he's a fucking coal miner.
Because he's a coal miner.
And so you meet him. He, we'll get more into the coal miner later, but he decides he has to retire. He goes back to the hospital so he can be treated in person. And then after that, the next character you meet is a professional baseball player who tears his rotator cuff and loses his chance at the playoffs, which gives him anxiety and pain-related heart problems.
So we're not, like, treating any... We're just treating people's heart problems.
But we're not fixing them. We're just
right.
Like...
We're what, just like, oh, you have a heart problem?
We're essentially being, like, a Wi-Fi-operated pacemaker.
Do these people have to continue to have their rhythms bumped for the rest of their lives?
So here's the thing.
Or is it...
I think that's part of what the game is saying, that like these like quote unquote quick fix solutions aren't fucking solutions. They're not real healing.
Right. They're just to keep you alive
right.
So that they can continue to suck money out of you.
So like, for example, Cole and Nicole, the smoker and the caffeine addict. There's a doctor. We'll talk more about Dr. Paige here in a second.
Like maybe we need to get Homegirl into some... You know, get her some nicotine patches,
that's exactly
so she can stop smoking.
One of the doctors is like, what these patients need is like rehab and other resources. Like they need a support group. They need this and that. And Dr. Adiga is like, listen, we can put their heart back on rhythm whenever we want to. Shut up. Yeah. Oh my God. So anyway, it's with the introduction of the baseball player whose name is Lucky.
Not very lucky.
Yes. No. It's with the introduction of his character that the game, like, I think this is when it really comes into its own. So this is where it makes it clear that, like, health and healing are about the friends you make along the way. And they're not any... I mean, truly, though...
Health and healing are the friends you make along the way.
The quick solution... Listen, that sounded nice when I said it, and then you laughed at me. Have I lost the ability to be genuine? Am I just such a fucking troll that makes sex jokes and talks about waxing my vagina? And is that all I've become to you, listeners at home? Am I just a fucking jester?
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? You know what? I feel things. I've had a hard week.
Sorry.
Nobody fucking cares what Pixel feels. Oh my God. Where the fuck? I don't. Even jesters deserve love. So, will you still love me if I stop making you laugh? Is that all I'm good for? What happens when I run out of jokes? What happens when I need you to cheer me up? Do you just abandon me? Do you find another podcast?
You just gotta go to the rhythm doctor, I guess.
I feel like I can't fucking... What's happening? Okay. Can you fix my broken heart, Rhythm Doctor? Can you fix my shattered soul?
Wow.
So Lucky, woo! Lucky just wants a quick fix. He wants to be back on his team. He wants to go to the playoffs. Yeah. In his mind, baseball is all he's ever been good for.
Oh.
I know.
It's like how you're only good for your joke.
Me and Lucky. Same, same. Same, same. Pixel and Lucky. So, like, as sports fans do, like, his fans are, like, calling him a pussy for being injured. Like, the people that have loved him have now turned on him because he can't play. Like how the fucking entire country treated Simone Biles when she decided she couldn't compete. Like, that, that level of, like...
Sorry, I don't want to break my neck after flipping in the air.
It's the same energy. Like, he's...
God, I hate sports fans.
Same. So, like, the doctor, so Dr. Page, and it's very confusing for me because the doctor's name is Page and your name is Page.
Hell yeah.
It's not you.
I am Dr. Page.
Dr. Page is, like, she is the representation of, like, the old ways of healing. And, like, just being there for someone, and that healing takes time, and it takes community, and it takes giving someone your individual time and attention. And you can't rush healing. Like, she is, like, the embodiment of everyone who goes into healthcare for all the right reasons. Like, she is just a solidly good character. And so Dr. Page tells Lucky, like, no, dude. You got to do rehab. You have to take it slow. If you don't, you're only going to make it worse. If you ever want to play again, you cannot rush this. Mm-hmm. And Lucky is like, fuck you. Because Dr. Ediga, head bitch in charge, offers offers Lucky freeze and burn beats to numb the pain. So they're different rhythms. Basically, he's like, we've modified the heartbeat machine. Now we can numb your muscles.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Listen, it doesn't matter how it works. It makes his muscles numb. That's all we need to know. Dr. Page tries to explain that numbing pain and healing are not the same fucking thing, which preach, right, sister. And just because you can't feel it doesn't mean you aren't doing hella damage.
Right, you're probably actually doing more damage because you can't feel the pain.
Yep.
And
yep.
So your body... Yep. Doesn't, like, pain is your body's, you know, way of saying, hey, stop.
Exactly.
Stop doing that.
Pain is important. Lucky doesn't listen. He gets the freeze beats till he's all numbed out. He goes and practices, and guess what? He makes it worse.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm. So he is all pissed, and he's all sad, and he's all mopey around the hospital until the coal miner comes and gives him a pep talk.
Good job, coal miner.
He says, listen, you got to put your health first, even if it means letting go of the livelihood that you built your entire identity around.
Yeah.
So the miner says, look, during my healing process, I've learned, you know, I've been injured before. I know what it's like to, you know, tear a rotator cuff. It's happened to me. How about I show you the exercises I did that made it better?
Okay.
So the miner starts coaching Lucky on, like, slow, steady rehab exercises.
Nice. Is he still getting his freeze burn beats, or did he stop doing those?
They are employed here and there, but not to the extent where he's, like, completely... It's just, like, a little, like, pain management thing.
Does he have to get heart rhythm still, too?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
But, like... We're quickly wandering into the part of the game that is now less about trying to explain what we're actually doing healthcare-wise and more about this telling an emotional narrative through. Well, it's more of like telling a story about healthcare and about these characters and about and the rhythm stuff. It's really more about a vehicle for there being music to help tell the story. Like, we are really far afield from any sort of health treatment that makes any goddamn sense at this point. So the whole hospital rallies around Lucky, and they convince him to teach them how to play baseball to cheer him up.
Yeah.
So he coaches them, and they, like, win their first game against some other hospital's baseball team, because this is a thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's adorable. Cute. It's really, really sweet. And because of all of this love and support, when Dr. Adiga comes to him and says, hey, the miracle cure machine I was talking about that's going to fix muscles and nerve damage, it's done now. You can be back in the game tomorrow if you let me do this miracle treatment on you, even though it hasn't been fucking, like, tested on anybody.
Right.
And Lucky says, you know what? I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay here with people who actually care about me, and I'm going to give my body what it deserves. So Dr.
Adiga, it really is the friends we made along the way.
Fucking is. Dr. Adiga is pissed.
Of course he is.
He lays into Dr. Paige because in his mind, she's the one that talked Lucky out of this treatment. Even though she never directly addressed it. She just was like, hey, you still gotta, you know, take care of yourself.
Your shoulder's still really fucked up.
Yeah. Dr. Paige is like, I'm sorry, I'm just not good with the new rhythm treatment stuff. I feel really overworked. I'm exhausted. Can you please lighten my work schedule a bit? Just so I can, like, sleep. And he, he says, what? You don't have kids. You don't have a family.
Oh, my God.
Why can't you just work all the time? The audacity. The audacity. So she quits in response, which she fucking should.
Yeah.
Because holy shit. So, yeah, like, Dr. Adiga, he is corporate healthcare personified. Everything is numbers. Churn through as many patients as possible with as little staff as possible. No time for slow healing or bedside manner or love or care or rest or anything.
Hmm.
That, to me, is the game's biggest message, that healing isn't about getting patched up so you can just be fed back into the machine again.
Right.
It's a slow, social, emotional journey that maybe... where you land is I can't ever do what I was doing again. I need to have a slower life.
Yeah.
And, like, that's fucking fine.
Right.
It's a very, like, anti-capitalist message, but it's like,
fuck capitalism.
I know. And also, I think they did a good job of portraying, like, it's not just patients that suffer from the way our healthcare system is set up.
Everyone does.
Mm-hmm. These doctors are overworked. Like, people that go into the field for all the right reasons, either, like, play along and become part of the evil fucking machine.
Right.
Or you get chewed up and spit out, or you work yourself to death. Like,
yeah,
it's bad for everyone. Dr. Paige is a great doctor. She loves helping people. She quits.
Yeah.
Because she'll, like, go fucking insane if she doesn't. Okay. So we're at Act 6 of 7, or 7 acts. We're at Act 6. And we meet a new character named Mark.
Okay.
Who makes one request upon arrival.
Hi, Mark.
Do not, under any circumstances, let Dr. Adiga anywhere near me.
Because I'll murder him?
So, Mark and Dr. Adiga used to be colleagues.
Because?
They graduated medical school together. They both started at Middle Sea Hospital together. Mark could never keep up with Dr. Adiga. And when Dr. Adiga was put in charge of the hospital, Mark was, like, losing his mind under the work schedule. He developed a really serious heart condition and had to quit. And Dr. Adiga never spoke to him again. Treated him like a loser. They were,
like
best
friends. I don't like this Dr. Adiga fella.
Nope, they
and
were
you
may besties.
Quote me on that.
Meanwhile, things at the hospital are bad. Everything is automated now. The janitor is a robot. The security guard is a robot.
Where did they get all these robots?
They're just getting them. They're just finding them.
Does this game take place in the future?
It's just doing its own thing. It's just, there's no, like, year attached to it. Okay. So things are getting really bad. Dr. Paige decides to come back just in the nick of time because she missed her colleagues, she missed her patients. She loves what she does. She comes back. Right after she gets there, Mark, the patient who used to be a doctor at the hospital, codes. Dr. Adiga gets there first. The other doctors show up, like, with a crash cart. Dr. Paige is like, we can get him back. Like, we know how to do this. We have all the equipment. Like, there is a way to get him back online.
He's like, no, do the rhythm stuff.
Yes. He says, no,
give it to the intern.
We're trying out the miracle cure. on Mark.
I don't think you're allowed to just try experimental treatments on patients without their consent.
So Mark is conscious at this point enough, and he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm dying. Whatever. If it makes you fucking happy, give me your Miyoko treatment. But before you do, I need you to know that you are a small loser of a man.
Yep.
You are obsessed with being a savior. You don't give a shit about helping anybody.
Right.
So he's like, all right, I've said my piece. Hook me up to the fucking thing. So they try the miracle cure. It goes badly.
Really?
So badly that the whole hospital goes haywire and you have to fix everyone's heartbeats all at the same time. 14 heartbeats.
How is that possible when you only have one space bar?
Just fucking wait. We'll get there. We will get there. Short answer, for me, it wasn't. We'll get there. It was impossibly difficult. Like, there's a point, so sometimes there's a point in some games where, like, you're going to fail. Like, there are unwinnable missions that are actually part of the story.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So at the midpoint of this, there is an unwinnable moment.
Okay.
And then, so you fuck it up. The DJ swoops in and he's like, hey, I just dropped this sick new track. And he starts playing it. And everyone's heartbeats sync up to the track that the DJ wrote. So he kind of saves the day, but it's still really fucking hard.
Yeah.
But anyway. So eventually, you and the doctors on site, you get everyone under control. All the heartbeats, everyone is safe. Everyone's alive, including Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And the last story moment is Dr. Adiga buries his face in Mark's chest and cries. Like a redemption, like forgiveness. Like, I almost killed all of us with my fucking ambition and you were my only friend and I...
Okay, well, fuck you, Dr. Adiga.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't care.
They're pulling out a redemption moment. It didn't particularly move me, but that's what they were going for. So, favorite moment.
Uh-huh.
Since there are so many standout moments, I am going to use this section to talk about the most technologically impressive thing about this game.
That you only have to use one button?
No. That's not what I'm talking about. So, like I said, the art style is, like, pixelated. It's simple, 8-bit looking shit.
Yeah.
So there is a moment during an early boss battle where the game, like, minimized down to, like, window, like a window. It went from full screen down to, like, just a window.
Like, as part of the game?
Well, at first, I thought, okay, games just do this in glitch sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll reboot it. Same fucking thing happens. I can't do anything to make this go back to full screen. So I thought, you know what, fuck it. I'll just play this level small. And then, that little game window starts dancing around my desktop screen to the rhythm of the music.
Oh, no.
Then multiple windows appear, and characters would run from, like, one window to the next. And then characters appear outside of the game window, just, like, moving around on the desktop.
How is that possible?
I don't fucking know! I can't figure it out! Like, at first, I thought, this is a trick. The game has somehow cloned my desktop. So it looks like it's not on full screen anymore, but it's still full screen. It's just changed the background to mirror. My clock kept advancing in time. Like, it didn't clone my... That's not what it was. I don't know... I don't know how they did it. I can't fucking wrap my head around how they did it.
I bet you that's like a Google search.
I know.
Like, how did Rhythm Doctor do the thing with the screen?
It would probably be such a complicated code answer that they basically might as well said, like, they did ritual magic. And I'd be like, yeah. Sounds like it. So, isn't that's an Arthur C. Clarke quote that, like, any sufficiently advanced technology looks like magic.
Well, some people say that magic is just science we don't understand yet.
That's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how they did all this. The final boss is so visually stunning. There's, like, four windows that are doing, like, a circle dance. There's fireworks in the background on the desktop. I cannot wrap my head around the programming here. This game was in development for 14 years.
14 years?
Well, at first I thought that's ridiculous. This is like a one-button pixel rhythm game. But now I get it. Like, however they did that shit.
How did they know about RFK Jr. 14 years ago?
it's been in development since then. Like, I imagine that some of the, like, they started with the technology of how do we even do the shit we're trying to do.
Okay.
There are certain things that could be added relatively late stage.
Oh, okay.
And also, RFK Jr. is not the only shitty politician that tries to fuck with our healthcare system.
True.
So.
True.
But yeah, they've done shit I've never seen any game do ever. Part where I wanted to smash the controller. As I alluded to, the final song was incredibly, incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't actually beat it because I ran out of time today because I was like, had 2 hours to write the episode and I hadn't finished the boss yet. And I was like, fuck it, I'll watch the ending on YouTube because I can't. Like, wow. Given time, I could have gotten it, but I didn't fucking have time to finish it before I needed to be done with this episode. Which I do feel like a loser, in case you at home were wondering.
You're not a loser. Oh my God.
Hmm?
Today, my therapist told me that every time you have a negative thought about yourself, you have to replace it with 3 positive ones.
Oh, okay. I have good hair. I'm decent with a joke, and I throw it back like nobody's business. Right, that's 3 things.
See, not a loser.
All right, character I had a crush on. Speaking of throwing it back. This is a tough one because there are so many characters that are so charming and have so much depth. I have to give this to the coal miner.
Oh, yeah.
He was just so sweet and endearing and patient and kind. And like, I just remember watching that interaction being like, my God, I need a coal miner in my life. Like, just someone to be like, babe, hey. You're doing good. Just breathe. You're not in a rush.
Right.
All this pain is an illusion. I just needed that. And I never really had that.
I cannot be that person for you. Ah! I don't think, not that I wouldn't want to be.
No, I totally, not everyone can be a coal miner.
I can't, I'm definitely not a coal miner.
I don't think you know what? Nope, we'll let it lie. Listeners at home, if any of you are coal miners, my number is. So anyway, overall rating, like, this game, it was so charming. It was so sweet. It's innovative. I know, like, explaining it to you, there's a lot of suspension of disbelief, but like, when you're in it, it just flows and you just vibe. I recommend people trying this out, especially if you're a musician or if you want to be. If you're not and you try it out, let me know. Like, am I just crazy? Is this as hard? Am I just really bad at this particular game? Let me know. But yeah, overall, I give this game an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
I really, really liked it. I hope for more from these folks.
I might actually play this one.
And maybe in like 2039, we'll get another game from them.
Maybe.
And maybe I'll be alive to see it. So anyway.
I'll make sure to keep your heart rhythm going long enough.
Thank you. I just hit that space bar every 7th beat. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Ba-na-na-na-na. Yep, just, you know, me and the samurai just vibing, hoping somebody fucking gets our hearts back together. So, fun. You know what you can do? If you like this, you can find us on Instagram.
Yeah.
At Page and Pixel PC. You can drop us a message. You can tell me that you love me. You can tell Paige that you love Paige.
Nobody's going to do that.
We'll see. But for now,
read hard,
play hard, and fuck RFK Jr.
But not literally.
That please.